The U.S. Israeli genocidal war in Gaza continues for 121st day. The death toll now tops 27,350, mostly women and children. During a funeral ceremony for victims of the latest U.S. air raids in Iraq, the chief of the Popular Mobilization Forces demands the full withdrawal of all foreign troops. Yemen vows to continue barring Israel-linked vessels from accessing the Red Sea despite the U.S. and U.K. air raids on the country. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. Now, some 130 more Palestinians have been killed in another day of Israeli strikes in Gaza as the regime genocide grinds on into a fifth month. Two children were killed and several others injured after a regime-targeted kindergarten where displaced people were sheltering in Rafah. The city is located in southern Gaza near the border with Egypt. It hosts more than a million displaced Palestinians and has become the focus of the Israeli onslaught. In central Gaza, two people were killed and several injured, including children, in a strike on a residential building. Israeli attacks in Gaza have claimed the lives of more than 27,300 people since October 7th. Some 67,000 others have been injured. Now, for the latest on the ground, let's go to Gaza, to Deir al-Balah, where our correspondent Moti Abu Musab is watching all those developments at close quarters. Moti, bring us an update.
Yes, more massacres unfolded over the last couple of hours after the Israeli warplanes destroyed several residential buildings, in addition to a mosque here in Deir al-Balah city. Multiple residential buildings, which are located in the center of Deir al-Balah city, and a mosque which is located near an evacuation center, and the UNRWA school. That evacuation center actually accepts at least 13,000 Palestinian civilians. The Israeli occupation forces targeted that mosque with several missiles, leaving dozens of the Palestinian casualties and the Palestinian injured and martyrs. At least till this moment, we have 8 Palestinian martyrs, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian casualties. Large number of them are still trapped under the rubble. So we are talking about fierce Israeli airstrikes hitting more residential buildings over the last couple of hours. This is a continuation of the constant Israeli bombardments hitting all areas of Gaza Strip. A couple of hours ago, the Israeli occupation forces on the ground in Khan Yunis city also destroyed several residential buildings and houses in the eastern parts of Khan Yunis city using the explosive devices. And in Rafah city as well, the Israeli occupation forces targeted several residential apartments and buildings. Now, as we speak, Gaza city is subjected to heavy bombardments of the Israeli artillery and the Israeli airstrikes, particularly the center of the city, around the Ansar compound and the University Square. These areas actually are subjected to heavy bombardments, leaving more Palestinian casualties prone to the Baptist Hospital. In the meantime, the Palestinian resistance is engaged in fierce clashes and gunfights with the Israeli occupation forces on the ground. It's worth mentioning that according to Gaza's health ministry, that the number of the Palestinian casualties left behind the continuous Israeli airstrikes mounted to at least 127 over the last 24 hours, as the Israeli occupation forces committed at least 14 massacres. These massacres are still maintained and continued with the Israeli continuous and constant bombardments and airstrikes hitting all areas of Gaza Strip. Generally, we are talking about continuous and increasing Israeli bombardments, regarding the ferocity and regarding the widespread airstrikes and the bombardments. These bombardments covering all areas of Gaza Strip, particularly when it comes to Rafah City. There are many rising concerns that the Israeli occupation forces are going to conduct a ground invasion against Rafah City, knowing that the vast majority of the people were enforced and compelled to evacuate the entire Gaza Strip into Rafah City under the demands of the Israeli occupation forces that Rafah is supposed to be a safe area. However, the Israeli occupation forces, for the third consecutive day, intensified their attacks against Rafah City, which is threatening to have more Palestinian casualties, more massacres to be committed against the Palestinian civilians. Amid this continuous Israeli airstrikes and the relentless Palestinian resistance, the humanitarian conditions are still deteriorating with the time, as the Palestinian people till this moment do not have any real access to the basic humanitarian needs and the basic necessities on the ground.
All right, thanks for that update. Mutia Abu Musaba, our correspondent, live for us in Deir al-Bala, Gaza. The Palestinian movement Hamas insists on the withdrawal of Israeli troops from the war-ravaged and blockaded territory as part of any ceasefire deal. The resistance movement says that the plan should also provide for a complete stop to Israel's onslaught, an end to the blockade of Gaza, and post-war reconstruction. It also wants the release of thousands of Palestinian prisoners. A new proposal has been offered to Hamas for a ceasefire and release of captives it's holding in Gaza. Now, that following talks in Paris that involved Israeli, U.S., Egyptian, and Qatari representatives. Pressure is building on Israel from the international community and even its Western allies to stop the military offensive in Gaza, which has resulted in large-scale deaths and destruction. Displaced Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are now having to take shelter in destroyed buildings amid relentless Israeli strikes.
Our six-story house in the north was bombed and 42 people lie dead under the rubble. We have not been able to reach them. We were displaced to the city of Khan Yunis first, then we fled to the city of Rafah after the Israeli tanks stormed in. We found no shelter for ourselves except under the rubble. It's a very unsafe place, but we have no other choice.
The schools are severely overcrowded and tents are not safe enough to live in the current weather conditions. The UN says that Israeli strikes have damaged more than 60% of the buildings. Nearly 1.7 million people have been displaced since the beginning of the Israeli onslaught. UN officials have repeatedly stated that nowhere in Gaza, including schools, hospitals, residential buildings, and mosques, is spared from Israeli bombings. Now, elsewhere, a funeral procession has been held in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad, for those killed in the recent U.S. strikes on that country. Mourners took to the streets to commemorate the loss of their fellow countrymen and condemn Washington's military aggression against their country. At least 16 people were killed and more than two dozen wounded in the U.S. air raids that targeted both civilian and security areas. The head of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Forces has condemned the strikes.
This incident will not go unnoticed because it represents a brazen attack on the Popular Mobilization Forces and its administrative and logistic bases and anything that is connected to or represents it.
The PMU chief urged the Iraqi government to do whatever it can to safeguard the country's sovereignty and dignity. He said Iraq's territorial integrity cannot be secured unless foreign forces leave the country. The U.S. and British attacks on Iraq have drawn strong condemnation. Hamas has also condemned the strikes, saying that they would escalate tensions in the region. The United States and the U.K. say that they have launched a third round of airstrikes on Yemen. 36 targets in 13 different locations have been hit. The targets, they say, were buried weapons depots, some missile systems, and launchers. The U.S. and Britain claim they are seeking to protect shipping in the Red Sea. The Yemeni army has been targeting Israel-run and Israeli-bound ships to push the regime to stop its genocide in the Gaza Strip. Yemeni forces have also attacked American and British vessels after the two countries launched strikes on Yemen. On Sunday, the Yemeni army warned that Western strikes will not go without response and punishment. Army spokesman said that such attacks will not deter Sana'a from supporting the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The latest round of American and British airstrikes in Yemen has drawn strong condemnations in the region. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman says that the attacks are a serious violation of international law and Yemen's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Nasser Kanani says that the continuation of such arbitrary actions are worrying and threaten international peace and stability. The spokesman noted that the attacks aim to give Israel some breathing space amid its war crimes against Palestinians. The official added that the international community has a responsibility to hold the U.S. and the U.K. to account. Meanwhile, Hamas movement has warned that the attacks will plunge the region into further turmoil. The Islamic Jihad movement says that the U.S. is responsible for the repercussions of its attacks on Yemen. Now, in Britain, hundreds of thousands have again marched through the center of London against the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war in Gaza. Protesters slammed the UK's complicity in the genocide and voiced support for Palestinian people's struggle for liberation. Saeed Purza has a report.
The UK's first national demo since the International Court of Justice ruling on the Israeli regime's genocidal war on Gaza was another enormous gathering. People came from all over the UK. The sentiment here, very clearly, ceasefire now.
And I, for one, will not sit at home and watch this genocide played out on television. They said never again in 1948, but it is happening again, and it's a Holocaust against the Gazans.
As with all the previous ones, this too was a broad spectrum of anti-war, pro-Palestinian sentiment, all here to push the government to act.
There is a sense here that international public opinion has had an impact, that it's putting irresistible political pressure on the leaders here and around the world. And while the carnage continues, the calls for it to stop are growing louder.
Stop killing babies!
Stop killing babies!
In the run-up to the demo, an attempt by police to prevent it from finishing in Whitehall, the seat of government. Yet once again, people power prevailed.
They're designed to intimidate. The police are under their own form of political pressure, but they're also operating in a climate in which they are content to use ever-increasing repressive measures, illegitimate orders under the Public Order Act. We're not going to be intimidated. The people marching aren't going to be intimidated. They'll keep marching, and you'll see hundreds of thousands of them joining us today.
The UK government has been amongst the most hawkish pro-Israel states in the Western world. And the opposition Labour Party has not acted very differently, with its purge of Israel critics from its ranks. Yet the Palestine Solidarity Movement in Britain has been the largest in Europe.
This is how we are showing those in power how we really feel. And how do we feel? We believe that a genocide is taking place in Palestine, and that it is our government and our arms companies that are weaponizing that genocide and are profiteering from it.
A permanent ceasefire is yet to be achieved. But even if there were one tomorrow, organizers say, this movement isn't going away. The shift in public attitudes towards Palestine and its liberation is permanent. Saeed Purza, London.
The people in Pakistan continue to hold pro-Palestine demonstrations in solidarity with Gaza. The Pakistani government has demanded the UN Security Council fulfill its responsibility to protect the defenseless people in Gaza. Nasser Kazemi has more in his report.
Civil society organizations, human rights activists, and political workers have launched a Save Gaza campaign by holding street demonstrations in Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. They called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the implementation of the International Court of Justice's recent ruling that the Israeli regime must avoid genocidal acts in Gaza.
All of us are extremely upset and saddened. We watch every day hundreds of children and men and women dying. And the worst thing which those Palestinians are facing is they don't have anything to eat. Every aid truck which tries to enter from the Rafah border, the guards at Rafah border demand for $10,000 from all those truck drivers.
The protesters also slammed the U.S. support for Israel and its complicity in the onslaught on Gaza. They called for all members of Organization of Islamic Cooperation to cut ties with Washington. Meanwhile, the government of Pakistan has also called on the United Nations Security Council to fulfill its responsibility and impose a ceasefire to protect the people of Gaza.
Pakistan also calls for the full implementation of ICJ's provisional judgment to uphold human rights, dignity, and identity of the Palestinian people as per the UN Charter, relevant resolutions, and international law. The implementation of these provisional measures requires an immediate and unconditional ceasefire to bring about an end to the suffering faced by the people of Gaza.
Expressing profound distress about the continual acts of oppression against the Palestinian people, Islamabad denounced the recent Israeli attacks on hospitals and called them war crimes.
Pakistan's unwavering support for the Palestinian cause is underscored by the sheer perspective of its people and the government, who jointly urged the international community and the United Nations to actively engage to ensure a ceasefire and provide protection for Palestinians from the ongoing atrocities of Israeli forces in Gaza. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Now let's look at South Korea, where people rallied in capital Seoul to show solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. And this is the 20th consecutive protest calling for an end to the U.S.-Israeli genocidal campaign. Our correspondent Frank Smith was there at the venue of the event and filed a report.
Free Palestine, the slogan heard around the world echoed through the streets of the South Korean capital on Saturday as Israeli slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank goes on unabated. Palestinians in Seoul were also present at the event.
Our situation is not from now. No, it's from long time ago, 75 years ago, we faced this kind of a killing every day, even in the West Bank or Gaza or Jerusalem or the land which is occupied in 1948. The right is clear and the evil is clear.
Despite the bloodshed of innocent Palestinians, Israel still enjoys the protection of Western powers.
South Korea has abstained from UN votes calling for a ceasefire, although the government has also refrained from fully backing Israel. Seoul does engage in significant arms trade, however, with Tel Aviv. Activists here today, they want that arms trade to stop and for the South Korean government to take a firmer stand against Israel.
The Israeli regime may argue its behavior does not amount to genocide, but since October last year, more than 27,000 Palestinians, mostly civilians, have been killed and almost the entire population of Gaza is displaced. Still, Koreans believe their voices and that of others can make a difference.
I participate in rallies every week in the hope for an end to Israel's genocide and oppression of Palestinians, and to show Palestinians that they are not alone. I hope that more people around the world will participate in protests and marches to show that the voice of Palestinian solidarity is much stronger and much louder than the propaganda being peddled by Israel.
A global protest is planned for February 17th to show solidarity with Palestinians. Frank Smith, Seoul.
And that's all from this broadcast from Tehran.
follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first six. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 4th, 2024. I'm Atefer Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the most. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from you, dear listeners, from around the world, from Arantio, from the Philippines, from Raimo Rantanen, from Finland, and from Akiyoshi Teraoka from Japan. So, Akiyoshi, Raimo, and Aron, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us at IRIB English Radio and the Listeners Special program. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to you, dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving QSL card from us, actually electronic QSL from us. And let's see who has sent us email or letter from around the world. Here we have an email from Paul R. Newton from the UK. Raimo Rantanen from Finland has sent us a piece of email, and here we have an email from India from Ratan Kumar Paul. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. The Persian Gulf is a blessing which is truly wonderful and spectacular. From its beautiful magical shores to its oil and gas deposits and maritime industry, the Persian Gulf is a significant economic and strategic route in the West Asia region. And that is why Western colonialists, including Britain, had always an eye on the Persian Gulf. anyway, it was an introduction to tell you my experience at the Persian Gulf Sea and Maritime Museum in the southern city of Bushehr. The Persian Gulf Sea and Maritime Museum was established at the Kolah Farangi Mansion of the southern Iranian port city of Bushehr in 2008. The mansion was formerly used by British colonialists at the British Consulate in Bushehr from 1858 to 1946. The building then was transferred to the Iranian Navy in 1946. This mansion, which is now a museum, showcases military and naval equipment such as compasses, naval binoculars, night vision scopes and goggles, radios, historical maps, Persian and English typewriters, marine knot picture guides, and medical kits. Documents pertaining to various naval operations, as well as the biographies of naval martyrs of the 8-year Iraq-Iran War of the 1980s. Naval boats, submarines, and military ships built by Iranian engineers during the 8-year war with Iraq are displayed in front of the museum. This museum has an area of 8 hectares and has environmental and eye-catching views. So, it was part of my story about the Persian Gulf and Maritime Museum in Bushehr. So let's see what Paul R. Newton from the UK has said. Paul says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, public transport has been badly hit by cutbacks in the last few years here in the UK. Poverty is very popular here. It must be because I've never seen an income above the poverty line. The tax rate for the very rich in this country and Europe is far too above at 45%. It should be at least 90% for the top tax rate. I have written to King Charles III about all of this. I have yet to receive a reply. I wrote to his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, over 20 years ago with no reply until her death. I hope economic situation improves in the UK." Okay, first of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Paul R. Newton from the UK. Thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. What you had was a shameful situation. We've heard about the bad economic situation in the UK, in the news, in the media, everywhere. And it's a shame. We're sorry for you. And we also hope that the economic situation in the UK improves. Anyway, we wish you all the best in your work and in your life. Paul R. Newton from the UK, tell us more about the situation in your country in your upcoming emails. Paul R. Newton from the UK, we wish you all the best, and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs and also about the situation in your country. Thank you again for writing to us. So after a short break, I will be back with you. I was telling, I went to the Persian Gulf Sea and Maritime Museum in the southern city of Bushehr in Iran, and you know what? The bride of the Persian Gulf with the most beautiful shores which is not found anywhere in the world, is the southern Iranian city of Bushehr. It's so beautiful, believe me, you have to visit this city. In the museum, actually outside the museum, the view was great. The architecture of the mansion actually is a mixture of local Bushehri and European. And the materials used in it are very precious coral pieces and plaster. You may not believe it, but I was standing beside a giant submarine. It was black and it had two hatches for exiting two military persons. Okay, it could be very horrible at its time. And outside the museum, there were also many naval boats and military ships built by Iranian engineers. There I could see the 110-year-old Persepolis vessel. It is said Persepolis was the first modern vessel serving in the Iranian Navy. However, after the Islamic Revolution in Iran, Iranian knowledge-based companies have made hundreds of advanced vessels and speedboats for the Navy, actually. So let's see what Raimo Rantanen from Finland says. Raimo says, "Dear friends, I had the pleasure of listening to your session here in Salo, Finland, few days ago. The reception was moderate. Thank you for your programs. Your confirmation of my reception would be very much appreciated." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Raimo Rantanen from Finland. And many thanks for writing to us. It could be very cold days in Finland because it is located in the Scandinavia. And although here in Tehran, in Iran, we are located in the West Asia region, in the last few days, it snowed a lot and and Tehran is blanketed. Tehran and many other cities in Iran are blanketed with the snow and it's white, maybe just like you in Finland. Anyway, thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio. Of course, an electronic QSL will be sent to you very soon, and we are looking forward to hearing from you in the future. And of course, we welcome your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Well, you just heard a beautiful piece of music from the southern parts of Iran. And now let me tell you what I saw inside the museum, the Persian Gulf Maritime Museum. Actually, this building is reconstructed completely. It has wooden ceiling, which has given a very warm sense to the atmosphere. You can see military and naval equipment like compasses, naval binoculars, night vision scopes, goggles, and radios. Very beautiful. And there are also historical maps, which would be very interesting. Also, there are marine knot picture guides and medical kits belonging to the ships. And there are many photos, and during my visit, I saw a photo belonging to Captain Ibrahim, the first captain of the Persepolis vessel, which was very interesting. This museum is big, and there are very other old naval equipment in the corridors of the building. And if you happen to travel to this beautiful city, I mean to Bushehr, actually put this museum in your visiting list and enjoy the history of beautiful Iran. And so let's what Ratan Kumar Paul from India says. Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from India. Please verify my reception with your QSL card and send some postal stamps of Iran and other countries. Stamps collection is my second hobby. I am a regular listener of your radio. Thanks for your nice and informative programs. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. To you, Ratan Kumar Pol from India, thank you very much for writing to us. So you are a regular listener of IRIB English Radio, and we know this. So please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best. Ratan Kumar Pol from India. So in this edition of Listeners, a special program, we talked about the Persian Gulf Maritime Museum, which was very interesting. And there is much to be said about the beautiful country of Iran. And here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye, I wanted to send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Paul R. Newton from the UK, Raimo Rantanen from Finland, Ratan Kumar Pol from India, Aron Tio from the Philippines, and Akiyoshi Teraoka from Japan. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran, and previous episodes we ended up talking about different dimensions of human being, the physical dimension, the spiritual dimension, and we said that the spiritual dimension itself has different divisions, further divisions. And in these divisions, one of the functions or one of the levels of the soul is that thing that we call as the heart. And heart is responsible for different functions. We talked about different functions for the heart. Deep understanding, contemplation, and also knowledge by presence. Now, one general thing about this function of the heart, which is reception or perception, better to say. So this is perceptive function of the heart. Heart is a faculty for understanding in general. And this makes heart responsible and accountable as well. According to one beautiful verse from Surah Al-Isra, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا وَلَا تَخْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. Do not talk about the thing that you don't have knowledge of. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ, surely the ear, the eye, and also the heart will be taken accountable for what they did. كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. Now, Quran shows us responsibility comes with perception and knowledge. A person who does not have knowledge, and not actual knowledge, the ability of knowledge actually. Because if you say the person who does not have knowledge is not responsible, then it makes problem. Like for example, you're driving, you do something wrong. For example, you pass through red light. And the officer stops you and says, well, you made a mistake and you're going to be fined. And you say, no, officer, I did not have knowledge. This is not an excused knowledge. Why? Because you were capable of seeing the sign and you ignored it. Or you were not aware enough, you were not consistent enough in your driving. That also is a problem. So ignorance in itself is not an excuse. Only the ignorance that is the result of being completely unaware not being in a context that you're responsible by default. When you're driving a car, by default, you're responsible for taking care of what's going on the road, and you cannot say I was ignorant. Just by being human, you're responsible. It's not acceptable from a human being to say I did not have knowledge at all, completely. Yes, if the knowledge, I did not have access to the knowledge because of the place that I was born in, because of the time frame that I was born in, or whatever. Yes, that is going to be analyzed. To say, okay, now that I can learn, let me close my eyes so that I don't learn, so that I don't have knowledge, and it will be an acceptable excuse. No, that will not be an acceptable excuse. So, inna sam'a. Sam'a means the ability to hear. Wal basara, the ability to see. Wal fu'ad, the ability to understand. Kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'ula. On the day of judgment, they are all will be taken accountable for what they saw, what they heard, what they listened to, what they thought of, and what they rejected, what they refrained from, why they didn't listen to that good thing, the eyes didn't see the good teachings and everything else. So it shows that the perception and understanding has close ties with responsibility and accountability. We will have a break and come back to continue our discussion.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we talked about how perception and accountability are related to each other, and the organs or the parts of or the dimensions of the soul that are means through which we understand and perceive knowledge. They are also responsible, will be held accountable on the day of judgment. So with this, I think we end the theoretical function of the heart, understanding, contemplation, and the responsibility associated to it. We go to the next function, which is close to understanding as well. When we make a division between faith and contemplation, it doesn't mean that we believe that they are contrary to each other. No, in Islam, actually, they both come together. It is with proper knowledge that proper faith comes. And to say that they don't have anything to do with each other, it's wrong. But the thing is, proper knowledge doesn't mean the knowledge that a person acquires in the school, for example. A person might not have that school-grown knowledge. At the same time, he has a knowledge of things, meaning that he has understanding, he has proper information of what leads him or her to eternal bliss and what takes him away from that destination. So another function for the heart is the faith. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أولئك. Now the verse continues, it arrives here. أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان. They are the people in their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the faith. So you see the place or the position in which the faith is written, the faith is established, the faith is signed and ratified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the heart. And then ayyadahum biruhin min, and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes iman, meaning that He actually ratifies, accepts, signs the faith in their heart. أَيَّدَهُمْ. He supports that faith and those people with a ruh, spirit, بِرُوحٍ مِنْ. And the result would be coming to or entering paradise. يُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. So this is the one function of the heart. It is the iman that the heart has for the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And heart being the place of iman, it also plays another function. That function is heart will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the iman, the faith of people. Then we have the concept of امتحن الله قلوبهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test their heart. And it's a very interesting discussion. Inshallah, we'll follow it up in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Arabi English Radio. Herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Sheikh Rouhani on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين وصحبه المنتجبين. Dear brothers and sisters, in this episode, we are going to talk about another beautiful hadith, which is in the program of Hadith of the Day from the Holy Prophet, salawatullahi alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet expresses the five important characteristics of mu'min, addressing the Aba Dhar, one of his great companions, saying that, Ya Aba Dhar, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Ya Aba Dhar, take advantage of five things before five things. قبل خمس, before five things seize you. شبابك قبل هرمك. O Prophet, take advantage of your youth before your old age. وصحتك قبل سقمك. O Bother, take care or take advantage of your health before your sickness. وغناك قبل فقرك. Your wealth before your poverty. وفراغك قبل شغلك. Your spare time before you're being busy. And وحياتك قبل موتك, and your life before your death. Here, the Prophet ﷺ mentions and highlighted a very, very beautiful points for our life, that in our life, in our daily affairs, we have to consider all these important points in our life, that you have to be careful about some of the blessings that we already have. Like what? When you are sharp, when you are young, be careful, take advantage of your youth. When you are wealthy, when you are healthy, and when you are wealthy, you have to take advantage of it, you know. And when you are, for example, you have free time, you have to take advantage of it. Whenever, for example, you are high, you are alive, take advantage of it, because death may come to you. Finally, we can understand from this hadith of the Holy Prophet that whatever blessings you have right now, yeah, at the moment, the thing that you have, take advantage of it. Because later, next days, next month, next year, you may not have any of these chances. You may not have any of these blessings with you. That's why be careful. Just take advantage of it. That is really, really significant point. Sometimes the people are always worried about what? About the past, about the future. While Imam Ali in one of his hadiths says that the past is gone. Nothing left for you. It's not available now for you. Future has not come yet. Nothing is available. The only thing that is available for you is right now, at this moment, what you have. Take advantage of it, because you are losing it, you know. That is why the Prophet here is also saying that you have to just be careful about whatever you have right now. You are now healthy. Take care of it. Take advantage of it. Now you are, for example, not poor. Take advantage of it. For example, help the poor, support the poor, do charity, pay charity. Yeah, this is when you have, for example, you have free time, enough time. Take advantage of it. So these are the things that are mentioned by the Holy Prophet. I hope that you pay attention to it. Inshallah ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
That was Sheikh Rouhani in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.